We're not the only ones in the room tonight.
Amen.
Yeah, there's angels going around about. I don't know about Elijah and all of them, but the angels are here. We know that Jesus is here. We know that the Holy Spirit is here. Amen? Come on. God's good. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Last week we talked about that God is speaking. But are we listening? Right? And sometimes it's just that still small voice on the inside. But if He's speaking, I want to hear Him. Right? Tonight we're going to talk a little bit more about that. If you'll turn your Bibles to John chapter 14, the Gospel of John in chapter 14. I've read over these particular verses and this is a particular section of chapter of the Bible, I mean, that we'll use for funerals because it applies and all of that good stuff. But how many know there's so much more in the Word than just what you think it says? What you've heard it says. There's more. Can you all hear me all right? We doing good? Okay. Let's just start reading and we'll comment as we go. Let not your heart be troubled. Who's that up to? Me. Just point right at your heart right there. That's me. Jesus said, now, He had me do something interesting today. Now, this might sound weird to you, but this is what He had me do. He said, I want you to read that like I'm talking to you. I want you to read that like I'm sitting across the desk from you and talking to you. So Jesus is talking to us tonight, and He's saying, let not your heart be troubled. I got trouble. Well, you might have trouble, but don't let your heart be troubled. Right? Because watch this. He says this. You believe in God, believe also in me. Our whole life is wrapped up in believing in God and believing in Jesus. Right? Come on. This is so good. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I just want to say this, and I'm not going to go too far into it, but that word mansion there in the Greek, it's really not mansion as we think it's mansion. It means in my Father's house are many places, many dwelling places, or many places to dwell. And then He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And that's, some people look at that in the picture and the framework of that, you know, Jesus went to the cross and He went to heaven. And man, He's getting all these mansions ready for us. But I don't believe Jesus prepared the place for us in heaven. I believe He prepared the place for us on the cross. Because when He died and took our sins upon Himself, right? He's prepared the way that we could be a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit and that the Father could dwell with us and in us. So this is about heaven. We're going to go to heaven one day. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait to get there. But I don't want to get there too soon. I want to fulfill every... Because once you leave here, you can't do what He wants you to do here. Hello? But I want to do everything He wants me to do here. But watch this. He's already prepared the place for me to dwell with God eternally. Mm-mm-mm. Watch this. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Do you know He did that? He died on the cross. He went, you know, into the grave. And then He was raised on the third day and He came back and said, here I am, boys. Come on, here I am. And even if they saw Him, they didn't. And like last week, they were walking with Him on the road, but He kind of hid Himself and they didn't know it was Him. But inside of them, they knew it was Him. Right? And so when we're looking at that and it's like, wait a minute. He didn't just leave and He just in heaven, He's with us now. He came back for us. Right? We're in a relationship with Him and we believe in Him and He's with us. Glory to God. And listen to this. I love this part of it. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Jesus, now just imagine Jesus talking to you. You're sitting there. You're with him. He hasn't died on the cross. He hasn't been raised from the dead. He's just your teacher and everything. He says, you know the way. You know where I'm going. You know the way. And Philip's the only one who had enough guts, but all of them were going, huh? What are you talking about? But the next verse said Thomas to him, Lord, you do not know where you're going. How can we do not where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Right? Come on. He's preparing a dwelling place for us, right? A place where we can live and be at home with. Right? He did that. He's preparing a place for us in the Father. But the only way to get to the Father is through him. You know, this is tight, but it's right. Carmen said that years ago. He said, it might be tight, but it's right. Right? In other words, this seems kind of narrow-minded, but I'm sorry, it is. There's only one way to Jesus. There's not many ways, and not all roads lead to heaven. Jesus is it, right? You might disagree with me on that, especially if you're not saved and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but I'm telling you, he said it. And he, like I said before, he's saying this to us tonight. Just imagine, Jesus is up here talking to us. He said, listen, I want you to know, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. So watch this. He said, for you not to let your heart be troubled. And most of us go around singing the blues. Right? I might start singing, the way you looked at me. Yeah. Look at, we start, I got troubles, whoa, whoa. And we're focusing on the troubles. And I'm not saying there aren't things out there that hurt us. There aren't things out there that mess with us. But again, like I said on Sunday, we've got to put the God in the now. God, this is going on in my life, but I want you to know that I trust you and I believe in you. And you, it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm in you and you're the way, you're the truth, and you're the life. So as long as I'm with you, we're okay. Right? We're okay. Years ago, Renita and I were in a situation where they actually put a for sale sign on our house. Not a for sale, but a foreclosure sign on our house. And I'm going, whoa. And long story, but I sat in my chair and I was talking with God. And I told Renita, I said, listen, as long as we're together, everything's going to be all right. You know, I'll live with you in a tent if we have to. Right? But God said, don't worry, everything's going to be all right. I got this all handled. And he did, and it was really miraculous. But now we're living in a trailer. But that's a whole different story. That's a whole different story. We want to be there. Hallelujah. Watch this, verse 7. For if you'd known me, you would have known the Father. My Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. And then Philip pops up. Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Come on, bring him right in here. Let us see him. And how many would like to just, you know, oftentimes we want to, man, I wish Jesus would come and sit in my room, or I wish I'd see an angel, or I wish I went to the throne room of heaven, and I'm just like the rest of you. That'd be cool, right? But we don't need that, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and we already have access to him. And believing in him puts us in a position that we can operate for him. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father that dwells in me does the works. Where I really wanted to get to tonight is this particular verse, but we're going to go on with it. But listen to what he says. He says, Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. Go back up to the previous verse, because this is really important. Hallelujah. He said, have you not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. He says there's a correlation here that we have to see. How many want to work for Jesus? How many want to just do a work for Jesus? Right? In the Scripture, it talks about, you know, there are some works that are gold and silver, and some are just wood stubble, and they're going to be burned up, but these other ones are going to remain forever. I would like those on my account, right? When I get to heaven, those are what I want. But watch this. This is really important. Jesus said, watch this, I only speak the words that God gives me to speak. And what I'm speaking right now is not on my own, but it's by the authority that He's given to me. So what does that mean? He had to hear. He had to be listening constantly for the voice of His Father. You think that was easier for Jesus because He is who He was? I don't, because He was a man just like you and me, from the standpoint that He was born into this earth, and He communicated with the Father the same way that we do. He did it spirit to spirit. And we now have that same thing going on. We talked about that last week, that I'm his sheep, I know His voice, and the voice of a stranger I'm not going to follow. I have to expect to hear His voice. But if I hear His voice, I must do what He asks me to do. We're going to see that clearer. We must do what He asks us to do. Now watch this. Here's the good thing and the good news about it. He wants to use us to be ambassadors for Him so that He can show Himself to others through us. Jesus said, listen, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm not putting myself on a position necessarily with Jesus, but my goal is if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Right? And if you've seen Jesus, then you've seen the Father. Right? But because I'm not speaking, I'm not doing what I'm doing, I'm not saying what I'm saying on my own authority or because I'm large and in charge. I'm doing it because I'm submitted to the authority of heaven. But watch this. If I hear what He's telling me to do and I begin to act on what He's telling me to do, then He'll do the works through me. He'll do works through me. Now, do you believe that? I don't think we believe it to the depths that we should. And why do I say that? Because just like you, God will ask me to go talk with somebody or to witness to somebody or to pray for somebody. And we go, oh, yeah. I don't know about all that. Right, Lord, are you sure that's you? Are you sure that's you? Are you sure that's you? I think we ought to start becoming more bold and available for Him to use us to do what He's asking us to do. We're wanting the works to happen when we're not doing what we're hearing. Now watch this. Jesus is speaking and He's saying, look, I only do the things that my Father, and you should see that I and the Father are one, and you should just recognize automatically that God and I are one because you see the works that I do. And I can't do these works on my own. He does them through me, right? So it's like, I thought about that. And there's a principle of faith where we take the Word and we quote it over ourselves and quote it over ourselves, and that's really good. That's awesome. But I don't believe Jesus went around and saying, quoting over Himself, verses from the Old Testament. You know, he didn't go, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't think he necessarily did that. I think he had an experience with God where he was hearing firsthand information and acting on that. And that's what caused the works to happen. Right? It wasn't secondhand information. So it's important for us in our devotion time not to just talk to God and not just hear about God. Right? I've got the devotionals and I've got, you know, I listen to different people on YouTube and all of that. But at some point, we've got to just shut all that off. Shut it down. Why? Because when I'm reading the Word, this is God talking to me. You open your Bible like we did tonight and like the Lord had me do today. Read this slowly, but read it like I'm talking to you. Like I'm sitting across the table, your desk, and I'm talking to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. It's a whole different thing. Rather than getting information, I'm developing relation. And if I just have the information, I may not act on it from a sense that I've been told to do something. It might be secondhand information. I love Christian books. I've gotten so much out of different books and testimonies and all of that. But until you get to a place where whatever revelation or whatever they've heard from God becomes yours because of your relationship with Him, you're not going to get the same results that they got because you haven't heard it and then you haven't obeyed what it's told you to do and therefore you haven't got the works. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's kind of like, Lord, I've been at this a long time, Lord, but this is starting to ring truer and truer and truer. It's like, Lord, just begin to use me. I want to see the works. We quote some of these verses all the time. Verse 12 says this, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Now, there's been great debate about what this means. But you've seen what I've done. But that's not anything compared to what's going to be done. Greater. Now, some would say, does that mean more miraculous? Does that mean more in number? Yes, both. Yes, both. And if you look at the 2,000 years since he's been gone, there's been some awesome things done throughout the world, and we have testimony and we have history of that going on. But watch this. I believe that we have to believe that it's God's will for me and for you to work for him, to him to be able to work through us right where we are. Whether we're mothers, whether we're employers, whether we're grandmas, whether we're, you know, whatever we are, it's like, Jesus, I'm willing to do the work and I want to see the greater works. Right? When I was first born again and got on fire for God, greater works, man, I'm going to see this happen. I'm going to see that happen. And we're going to conquer the world for Jesus. We're going to take Port Orchard for Jesus. Right? How many times have you heard something? We're taking the nation, we're taking Mexico, we're taking for Jesus. And not so much. Right? It hasn't necessarily happened. I'm just wondering if we've missed a step and say, God, I only want to do what you want me to do. And I want to be in the place where I hear today, you know, when I go before somebody else and you put them on my heart to go talk to them, Lord, that first of all, I'm going to be obedient to do what you tell me to do, but I believe that you're going to use me. And because I'm under your authority, things will begin to happen. Right? Come on. I absolutely believe this is true. I believe this is the Word of God. I believe he meant every word that he said in every line, and he's saying this to us tonight. Jesus is speaking to you right now. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, I believe in him. Do you believe in him? Do you really believe in him? Is he here tonight? Is he speaking to us tonight? He is. He said, the works that I do, what works did he do? Come on. He did all the things. And we think, yeah, man, he raised the dead. And he did. And he healed the sick. Right? He fed 5,000 with 2 loaves. He did all of these things, man. He did all of those things. But you know what? All of that is secondary, what he really did. You know what he really did? He was the act of love that God sent into the world so that through him we could all be one with the Father. So in our motivation for doing what God wants us to do and we're listening to him, it's like, Lord, show me how to love whoever you put in front of me. Let me do that first. Let that be my motivation, is to love somebody. Do I need to separate you two? I need to love somebody. I need your love to come out of me. I don't need to necessarily go to the homeless outreach so that I can show them how spiritual I am and how much better I am than they are. I need to go to them and say, God, just speak to me for them so that you can use me to love them. Are you listening to me? And out of that, there will be works done, but the motivation is right and the direction is correct. Is this making sense to anybody? Come on, let's go on. Verse 13, it says, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What does that mean? I'm going to do it because I'll show up in the Father. If you'll ask for what I'm, it says, whatever you ask in my name, and some people have taken that, well, I'm just going to ask me for a Mercedes-Benz. Right? Lord, I need me a Rolex. I need to be, and I don't think there's anything wrong with any of those. Don't get me wrong. But the reality, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking in reference to doing his works. Come on. Lord, use me today. Lord, I ask for your anointing. I ask for your words. I ask for your heart for this person that you're putting in front of me, whether it's one person, whether it's 10 people, whether it's 1,000 people, whether it's 1,000,000 people. Give me your heart for them. And out of that, his love is going to show up. And his spirit is going to work through you to do something great for God. Amen. You know, I'm just like the rest of you, and I've been at this a little while. I'm really young, but I'm, you know, who laughed? No, but I'm really young, but I've been at this a while, and there are days where I'm talking to God and say, Lord, man, I haven't done very much. I haven't been very effective. You know, I've got more years behind me than I've got in front of me, and God, I can't see how you're not disappointed in me. I don't know if anybody else has ever felt that way, but I felt that way, right? And I just hear the Lord speaking to my heart and saying, quit measuring by your standards. Measure by mine. Here's my standard. Hear from me, right? Do what I ask you to do and leave the counting up to me. Right? And watch this. We can't do anything about yesterday. I could have done a better job pastoring this church for the last, 25 years. I know I could have. I know I could have done some things differently. Are there some things I'd do over? Probably, yeah. No doubt about it. But the reality is I can do nothing about that. So what do I need to do? I need to hear God now. Today, all of us, we need to hear God right now. And when I talk about that, I'm not talking about I hear an audible voice, right? I'm not talking about I got this room and God's got speakers in there and He speaks to me that way. Here's what I'm talking about. I just get quiet and thoughts start to run to me. And some of those thoughts are not obviously from me, and some of the things that He asked me to do, tells me to do, are just beyond anything that I could think up, right? But I'm just got to be obedient to those thoughts that He puts on my heart when I'm seeking Him, right? And if I do that, there's coming a day when we'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." So we've used that as a formula, right? I'm coming in Jesus' name, so therefore I have it. Well, first of all, are you really in Jesus' name? Is your motivation for Jesus or for you? Right? Come on. You can't be living like the devil and be in Jesus' name. Right. I won't go there very far. Anyway, we're going to go on. Now watch this. Verse 15. If you love me, how many love Jesus? You love Jesus? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What does that mean? Do what I tell you to do. And what did He tell me to do? It's written right in here. You know, everything He said in here, that's what we have to do. Is that easy? Not all the time. Right? Love those who persecute you. I don't want to. Forgive those. I really don't want to do that. Right? Humble yourself. No, come on, God. Right? Look at yourself differently. Look at who I am. Look at what I've said. Do what I'm telling you to do. Right? But when I ask you to do something, if you love me, you'll do it. And we get the list out. Well, you got to quit doing this, and you got to quit doing that, and you got to quit doing this, and you got to quit doing that, and you know you shouldn't be doing that. And I have trouble with that for me personally, especially when I have convictions about what are right or wrong and other Christians don't carry those same convictions. There's time that I go, oh, God, how come you're blessing them? You know what they're doing, right? But really, that's none of my business. What's my business is, Lord, what are you asking me to do? What are you commanding me to do? Sometimes the Lord will ask you to do many things that are out of your comfort zone. But do you love Him more than you love you? You know, there's in the previous chapter, He said, I'm giving you the new commandment, a fresh commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. That's a heavy commandment. Love one another as I've loved you. And husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I know. Are you kidding me? It has nothing to do with my wife. It has to do with me. He came and He died and He took all of my weaknesses. He took all of my shame. He took all of that, and He put that on Himself so that He could lift it off of me. We're supposed to love one another like that. But yet we don't. I don't. I'm working on it. But there are some people it's really hard. People who have done something that you don't like. Somebody has done you wrong. Somebody has talked about you, whatever. But what would Jesus do? He'd love them. Even if they disagreed with him, he loved them. If you love me, keep my commandments. Love one another as I've loved you. See, our motivation for everything that we do has to be motivated out of the same love that he has for us. And he gave us the ability to do that. And so, Lord, how am I doing in my love walk? How am I doing in my love walk? And the more that we can operate in that and really die to ourselves and allow him to live through us, the more we'll be in a position for him to work through us. Right? And when we're in that position, watch this. Others will see God through us. And many greater works will be done through us. Why? Because there's more of us than just him. I get this picture, and I've had it for years and years now. It's a story about Renita and her mom. The devil, you know, he thought, man, I got Jesus. I got him on the cross. I've just won, man. I've just won. But he didn't realize what was going to happen. What was going to happen, we're going to talk about in a minute, that when he went away, he was going to send another comforter. And that word another one means one of the same kind. And he's not going to be just with you. He's going to be in you. So the devil said, I got this whipped. I got him on the cross. I'm going to do all that. He didn't understand. Renita's mom, one day, both of them do not like spiders. And they have, back where she grew up, they have fiddleback spiders. And they're, if they bite you, they can do some damage, right? So one day, in the house that they were going, this fiddleback spider just started walking across the floor. So Renita's mom, being, you know, who she was, she grabbed a broom. And she whacked that spider. Well, she didn't know that that spider was a mama. And as soon as she whacked the spider, there were hundreds that flew across the floor. These little baby spiders. The devil thought he whacked Jesus. But now we're all over the world. And God is using us to do the same thing that Jesus was doing. But if we're going to work for him, we have to be like him. And we have to believe that he will use us and that he will speak to us. And when he speaks to us, we've got to be obedient to what he tells us to do. Especially when we don't like it. How many have ever held a grudge? For how long? You still got them? Right? You still got them? Some of them are harder to get rid of than others. They are. And some of them, you know, the revenge that you want or whatever, or, you know, you think you've gotten over it and then you see them. Or you hear about them. Or they give a testimony on Facebook or something. Right? Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't do that to us? Listen, I've already forgiven you from that, but yet you're doing it again. You asked me to forgive you yesterday for that habit, and now you're doing it again. Oh, I get tired of hearing you say, I'm sorry. No, he says, come on. Come on, get back up. Let's go at this again. You're not a failure, you're in me. I'm talking about if we love him, we're going to do his commandments. We're going to do what he tells us to do. We're going to walk that out. And that takes a relationship with God to even to be able to do that. Lord, it's impossible for me to forgive outside of your love. Help me to see them through your heart instead of my heart. And he does it. It's so awesome. So watch this. But here's the good news. And this is really awesome. Verse 16. I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. I will pray the Father, and He will give you who? Those who believe on me. I will give you another helper. And that word helper in the New King James, it's parakletos, and it means advocate, it means intercessor, it means helper, it means standby. But He's not just with us, He's living in us. I don't know about you, and I think sometimes the Holy Spirit just gets upset with me. Because He's speaking to me the same thing over and over again. And sometimes I just don't listen. Right? It's like I don't listen. Why? How do I know I'm not listening? Because I'm not doing what He's asking me to do. You ever been there? Right? And it's like, if I was the Holy Spirit, I'd quit talking. We have to come back to the place of, Lord, whatever You're asking me to do, You're giving me the authority and the power to be able to do it. So if You're asking me to forgive, then I can forgive. If You're asking me to let go, I can let go. If You're asking me to go do something for You, I can do it because You're giving me the wherewithal to do it. Right? If the Lord spoke to you tomorrow, He said, listen, I want you to go get your passport because you're going to be going to Zimbabwe. You Hi, Marcy, you're precious. No, I'm not. Listen, no, I'm not. Why would I go there? How could I go there? What? I mean, come on, I'm not going over there. You know what's over there? And I don't like spiders or snakes and alligators and all of the things that's hot over there. No, Lord, if You want me to go, I'll go. And then you can list off your, but I don't have the money. I don't have a passport. I don't know anybody over there. But if we're listening, right? We come back to listening. The Holy Spirit's speaking to us. And we do what He wants us to do. Everything that we need will come to pass as we need it. Let me tell you a story. This is a fellow Rhema graduate. He was back probably in the 80s. You know, he'd been going to school for 2 years, been praying about what God would have him to do. And he felt like God was calling him to the Philippines. Great, right? Go to the Philippines. I'm going to be a missionary in the Philippines. Graduation came, and it was a couple months later. He had enough money for a one-way ticket to the Philippines. That's all I need. He got to the Philippines knowing no one. He'd been given the name of a church that was over there, but he didn't know anybody at the church. And he got off the plane in Manila, $20 in his pocket. Knew no one. He didn't have a return plane ticket. But he knew that God called him to go there. I wouldn't suggest that to anybody. If I was advising him, I would say, well, that's not a good idea. You ought to have this much money. You ought to have this plane. You should have a return plane ticket because, come on, man. What if this? No. He'd heard from God, and he wanted to follow Jesus, and this is what Jesus put on his heart. Fast forward today, he has, in the Philippines, I don't know, it's over 200 churches. He's got Bible schools all over the islands and has a huge work for God. Just because he heard and he obeyed and the love of God compelled him to go speak. If we want the greater works, we have to get into our prayer closets and begin to do what he's asking us to do today. Today. What do you want me to do today? It might be simple, but it might be large too. Right? Glory to God. But if we love Him, then we'll do it. If we love Him, we'll do it. Whatever it asks, whatever. I haven't always wanted to do what He's asked me to do. But I've done it to the best of my ability. I've missed it just like you've missed it. But here's what we all have the opportunity to do tomorrow morning is to get up. And instead of going, Lord, 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 I need this, I need this, I want that. And Lord, You know You want me to prosper, Lord. You know You want me to prosper, Lord. I'm Your child, Lord. I shouldn't be driving this car. I should be driving that Mercedes. Right? How about we get on our face before God and say, Lord, You've already blessed me so much beyond. I don't have to look very far to see how blessed I am. But I just want to get on my face before You and say, Lord, what is it that You want me to do? And some of us might get on our knees and be a little bit scared because we know that He's going to say, I want You to forgive. I want You to love. I want you to get rid of that bitterness. I want You to get rid of that anger. I want You to stop. And you, but Lord, there's security in that. I protected my heart by that. If I keep everybody out of my heart, then I don't get hurt anymore, God. And He's saying, let the wall down. And you say, okay, Lord, I love You more than I want my will. So I'm going to walk with You along this way. And watch this, the Holy Spirit, who's your helper, will not only assist you, but He'll guide you in how to get where God wants you to be. Every one of us in this room are born again. We've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That means the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside. And none of us, watch this, none of us are holier than anybody else. None of us are more righteous than anyone else. Because if we were to gauge our righteousness on a scorecard by what our actions are or are not, we're all in trouble. Because they don't measure up to His. But we've all put on Christ who made us His righteousness. I take on His holiness. His love has been shed abroad in my heart, but I've got to let go of me and put Him on. And that's the place where He'll hear me. And that's the place where I'll hear Him. And when He says to do something, I say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I'm going to do that. I'm doing something right now that I've never done before, and it's because I feel like He's asked me to do it. And man, it's hard. It's nothing real drastic, but well, I'll just tell you what it is. He's asked me to write a book, and so I'm in the middle of writing a book. I never thought that would be easy. I mean, I never thought it would be this difficult, right? But page after page, and a chapter, and a chapter, and chapter, and chapter, putting it all, and I'm just on my first draft of the thing. But it's like, Lord, how do I say that? What do I say? How do I put it down there? But watch my obedience. I say, Lord, I need Your help. And Lord, what's the end of this? Why am I doing this? What, you know, who am I? Who's this book going to help anyway? That has nothing to do with anything. He's asked me to do it. So I need to be obedient to do it. Do you just get where I'm going? I'd rather be doing something else. But I'm doing it because He asked me to do it. And what a privilege it is to be able to do something for Him. Look at verse 16 again. I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. The only source of truth that is reliable is living in you. But times we've got to shut out all the other voices and say, Lord, what do you really want me to do? And whatever you want me to do, Lord, that's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. Sometimes it's hard. I'll just give you an example for me. About a year ago, as we're going through all the mandates and all of that, and the governor put on the you can't do this, you got to do that, you can't meet, you can't whatever. I started going around saying, well, you know, King Inslee, he's no longer the governor, he's the king. And I started saying that and jesting and talking with people. Oh, you mean King Inslee, you know, blah, blah. But the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and said, stop it. You're not showing honor to the office. Stop it. Yeah, but God, what he's doing is wrong. That has nothing to do with what I'm saying to you right now. This isn't about him right now. This is about you and me. Stop it. Stop it. And from that day forward, I've slipped a couple of times, but from that day forward, I've not used that term. Glory to God. We have to be obedient to the Spirit of God and do what He says, even when it doesn't make sense to us. Even if it costs us our life. Tonight, right now, in Afghanistan, and many other places in the world, by the way, but in Afghanistan, there's people who could have got out, but they said, no, the Lord has spoke to them that they're supposed to be the witnesses that cause a revival in the Taliban. Now, if I'd have had that conversation with the Lord, I'd say, you sure? I would really like to go to the United States where it's a lot more comfortable. I'd like to go over here with my family. I'd like to do this. But no, he said, no. I need you to stay. Now watch that. But Lord, if I stay, I might be executed. Yep. But if you love me, you'll follow me. Would God ever ask somebody to do that? Absolutely. Just look at your Bible. Over and over again. But that's the amount of commitment that we have to have. Right? And then walk in it. But as we walk in it, He gives us the grace to be able to do what He's asking us to do. Isn't that awesome? You have the Holy Spirit with you tonight. When you go home tomorrow and you're talking to God about your day tomorrow, start out your day saying, now, Lord, I just want to be used by you, so I'm going to ask you to use me. And I just believe that you're in me. I believe that the Holy Spirit is in me. And whatever you put on my heart to do, I love you, so I'm going to do what you want me to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all get something tonight? You going to do anything about it tonight? Right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that I delivered it the best way that I know how, and I believe you spoke through me. Lord, whether people are watching online or here in the room, Lord, we just want to work with you and work for you and do what you want us to do because, Jesus, we do love you. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just open up your heart to Him and say, Jesus, I need a Savior. Come and be my Savior. He will. Or maybe you don't know if there's a God. You might even have a question, God, if there is a God, He's big enough to show you if you'll seek Him with all of your heart. He'll show Himself to you. He did to me. He'll do it to you. Glory to God. Let's just end in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for each person that's listened. Lord, we thank you for change because you're with us and you're in us. Thank you for using us, Lord, and we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God. Anybody